Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
I have the honor of talking, or just continuing in our Casket Empty Bible series. Pastor Nathan and I were talking, and he was wanting to get me up here sometime this summer, and he's like, I have no clue what to talk about Isaac. There's nothing in the Bible about him. How about you take that? To be fair, I pushed on him because we were talking about cutting half Isaac into Jacob. And I was like, no, man, there has to be something in here. It's scheduled. We prayed through the schedule. There has to be something in Isaac. And now I have to put my money where my mouth is and talk about Isaac. If you're just joining us, Casket Empty is an acronym. Which stands for we're going through the entire Bible over the course of a year. Casket Empty stands for Creation, Abraham, Sinai, Kings, Exile, Temple, and then going into Expectation, Messiah, Pentecost, Teaching, and Yet to Come. This is going through the entire, what is the Bible talking about as a whole? I think it's very important for us to get into. Pastor Nathan went through 3 weeks of Abraham. Now, we are still in Abraham, even though we are talking about Isaac, because Abraham's section is all about the patriarchs going through. It's basically before the law at Sinai, what is God setting up here? Also, to put this in perspective, Abraham in Genesis has about 12 chapters. Isaac has six. And of those six, five of them, Isaac is a side character. So we're going to talk about the one chapter that Isaac is the main character in Genesis 26. Going through, it'll be up on the screen here. Now, there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar and to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. And will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Sound familiar? We saw Abraham doing this twice, so he got it from somewhere. "She is my sister, for he feared to say my wife, thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance." Don't know what it is with these guys finding the most attractive woman in the room and saying, "People are going to kill me because I'm sitting next to her." Woo! When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say she is my sister?" Isaac said to him, "Because I thought lest I die because of her." What quality patriarchs we have. Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us." So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Keep in mind, this is during a famine. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again the wells of the water that had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names of his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. Esek literally means contention. Man, I wish we named places like this. Well, I guess in New York we do. Where are you going? We're going to 34th and 3rd. Like, what's the name of that well? Contention. I hate that place. The herdsmen of Gerar, or it's a, then dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he called its name Sitna, which means enmity. Like, these guys hate me, all right? Enmity. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." For there he, from there he went up to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. I'll leave it there. He ends up going through and basically he makes an agreement with Abimelech and his people from that moment, and then right after they settle that and they come to a covenant, then his servants come and say, "Hey, we found another well." And he names that Beersheba, which is the same name that his dad named it, which is a well of oaths. So I'm going to be titling this message, Being Established in Blessing. So, because we're going through the first thing God said to him is, "I'm going to establish the oath that I gave to Abraham." God doesn't just want to surround us in blessing. He doesn't just want to throw it at us or give it occasionally. He wants to establish us in blessing. And we'll be talking about that tonight. God, we come before you right now, and we ask for you to speak. Dad, open our hearts right now in the name of Jesus, that we would be ready and to receive from you whatever you want to do in this moment, God. May I decrease that you would increase. God, may you use me mightily, God, by speaking your word to your people in the name of Jesus. Amen. So something I thought I'd never do in a sermon, alliteration. I literally tried to get away from it and I couldn't, so I'm sorry. What God uses to establish us in blessing is by using how we respond, remain, redig, receive, and release. Respond, remain, redig, receive, and release. People are going to listen to the podcast like, what the heck was that moment? First thing is going to respond. You have to think about this. This is the first time God spoke to Isaac, but this is not the first encounter that God had with Isaac. Pastor Nathan was talking about last week, actually Abraham, Isaac's dad, taking him up a mountain to kill him. Now, I'm sure everybody in this room has father issues. This is a different level. Now add in also the fact that this is not just father issues, this is God issues, because God told him to do this. 3 days journeying there, then having this wood, going up a mountain, and the question, finally, he just can't hold it back anymore. God, Dad, where is the lamb? You know that had to be sitting there. And even God calls out in that moment and stops Abraham. And this whole time, Isaac is a side character in this story. It's following Abraham. We don't know if Isaac heard God speaking or not. But we know how Isaac responded, because later on, after Isaac receives a wife, Rebecca, goes through, his wife is barren as well, and for 20 years she is barren. And this Isaac is the first person who is recorded as praying for his wife. And he prayed to the Lord, the God who was going to have him sacrificed. So I don't know what happened or what he worked through, but how Isaac responded to what he had been through was saying, "God, you are the one who can heal my wife, and you are the one that I am going to go to." How do we respond to hardship? going through. Now, that's even, like, man, okay. Isaac, as a side note, is also the only patriarch who had one wife. We always skip over that. He remained faithful in barrenness. Abraham did not. His wife was barren. Hagar, now we have Ishmael and a whole other set of issues to have. But how did Isaac respond? By continuing to stay and remain in that spot of faithfulness. Going through, now we go into this where God is speaking to him, appears to him for the first time, and the first thing he tells him is, I want you to stay in a famine. How about, God, can I stay at a, like, resort? You know, like, I want that to be the first thing God tells me to go. Like, I was going on mission trips for legitimately South Africa, Cape Town. I went there. We were in Stellenbosch. And I was like, God, you can have me stay here. This is great. One of the most beautiful places I've been. It is gorgeous. God, the first thing he tells Isaac is stay in a famine. Don't go down to Egypt. Stay here. And he does. He stays. Which is also whatever issues he had with God, he worked through because he's like, I'm going to stay here. You asked me to stay, I'm going to stay. But we also see what type of response fear has. Because he also responded in fear as he met the king of Abimelech. The king Abimelech. Going through and it's like, I am afraid they're going to kill me. And so he ends up lying and responding out of fear. And it's crazy that the king ends up coming through and is like, what have you done to us? You could have brought guilt upon us because you responded in fear. I'm like, God, forgive me for responding in fear because of actually the impact that it has on the people around me. God's promise to Isaac was that I want to bring a blessing through you to all the nations. But when we respond with fear, instead of bringing a blessing, it is very easy for us to bring a curse to the people around us. How do we respond sets us up for how God establishes us. Then the idea of remaining. Today's life, it's very hard to remain. I have a hard time staying on one blog, you know, or like I'm halfway through a YouTube video. I'm like, oh, next. You know, Netflix series going through. Millennials. I'm a millennial, so I make fun of millennials. Over 43% of millennials picture leaving their job in 2 years, and only 28% picture staying longer than 5 years, or even aim to longer than 5 years. We have a hard time remaining in our culture, like to actually stay somewhere. We're always wanting to go. In the city, I think that perpetuates us even more. Going through, like, all right, got this next meeting to go to. It's going to take me 40 minutes to get there. Let's go. But how do we remain in a spot? Whereas I see Isaac, he stayed in the midst of barrenness. As I mentioned, he stayed with his wife. He stayed in the land of promise, in the midst of famine, in the midst of an entire nation growing jealous of him. He stayed in the midst of having incredible contention and fighting, as well as enmity, the idea of people literally hating him just for who he was. And he's like, God asked me to stay, I'm going to remain here. He is the only patriarch who stayed in the promised land his entire life because God wanted to establish something here. Blessing is not just a place. Promise is not just a place that we come to and then leave. It is a place that we can live in. That God wants to root us in a place of blessing and promise. Not a temporary, not a vacation, not a soon-to-be, but he wants to establish us in it. Will we remain so that he will establish us? The other big thing of establishing and blessing is that there's a re-digging that has to come up. I initially started this with four alliterations, and I had to put this in there for re-dig, not just because it alliterates, but because it's significant. These were not oases that he was going to. He wasn't like, I'm just going to go around and try and find water wherever I can. It's like, no, I need to dig down and get a place where I can draw water and life from. So also we don't know if the Philistines filled these in out of spite or if it's because they ran dry. The idea is a very arid climate. Through. So water is important. So the idea of this guy's not using a water, like a well, I don't like him, so I'm going to fill it in, doesn't make sense. It's also that they didn't put garbage or trash in it. They filled it in with dirt, which to me also says, because they filled it in, as you notice from the passage, after Abraham died, that this nation of the Philistines, who marked and recognized that Abraham was blessed by God, were receiving the blessings from him. By the wells that he dug. And Isaac, again, whatever issues he had with his dad, he was able to go back and is like, my dad drew water from here. He drew life from here. These weren't new things. He wasn't going out finding new wells. He went back to what he knew they were, even if they were filled in. What are wells for us? Honestly, as believers, the Bible, community, praise, worship, prayer, these are wells, places that we can go to, things that we can do to draw from the life of God. People are like, well, that's not easy. It's like, it should be easy. It's like, no, you have to dig. It's not just there, but it's also, there's a blessing involved. Where there has to be the blessing. Because this contention ends up coming. The reality is that the area of greatest struggle in Isaac's life was exactly what God used to bring through him the blessing that God promised. That as Isaac was moving, reaping 100-fold of what he sowed in the midst of a famine, he would dig wells, the Philistines would come in, fight him over it every single time, and Isaac didn't fight back. He went, he's like, okay, I'm going to go dig another well. I'm going to go dig another well. And in him doing that, he was fulfilling the promise of God of being a blessing to the nations. It's like maybe the spot of that you're in, your workplace, we're talking about work before with millennials, maybe God has put you there because he wants you to dig a well for that people, for that community. Maybe your family is the issue of contention in your life that I just can't stand these people. And I have to, and you try and limit your interactions with them. But maybe God is wanting to use you to dig a well for them. Because also, as he kept doing that, just saying, all right, I'm going to dig a well, I'm going to keep going. God also used that to bless Isaac himself. And it's funny that just in him constantly doing that, Isaac ended up realizing that he was blessed. Finally, he dug a well. It's like, okay, there's room for me. Finally, I will be blessed. If you didn't notice before, everything that he was reaping 100-fold before, he was kicked out because he was blessed. Everybody knew he was blessed except for Isaac. Church, what could we do if we knew the blessing that God had given us? Would we fight over little things? Or would we trust God for more? Saying that, God, you want to bless the nations through me. Why am I getting caught up in thinking this little thing? God blessed Isaac, blessed the nations through him, because he wanted to establish him through re-digging wells. But I think one of the things that is most significant is receive. And go back to, if you could pull back up, I think it's 26, maybe 3 or 4? Let me see. But if you look at the promise that God gave Isaac, It had nothing to do with Isaac. That in order to be established in blessing, there's a moment of just having to receive. Pull up 26:5, please, Iz. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. Not because of Isaac, because Abraham. And going back to the idea of responding, it's very easy for me to read that and think, yo, God, do you remember where I was in that story? I was tied up on an altar ready to die, but you want to give this to me because of what Abraham did. Again, I don't know the wrestle that Isaac went through. But we see as he responded the second time when God showed, and it's like, I am with you. I am blessing you. Isaac responded by building his first altar and sacrificed on it. I imagine building that first altar was thinking, I remember what this was like. But God wants to give it to me, not because of what I did, but because of what my dad did. And the reality is that God's promise to us has nothing to do with us. You pull that verse up one more time. For us, it's because Jesus obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. God wants to bless us way more, and it has nothing to do with us, that we can't screw it up because it doesn't depend on us. Because Jesus obeyed, God is going to be with me. Because Jesus kept the charge that he was given, I get to receive the land that God has promised me. Because Jesus fulfilled everything, I am a blessing. Not just are blessed, but you are a blessing. Oftentimes we get caught up in thinking like, Lord, bless me, when he wants to bless through you. God doesn't just want to bless. He wants to make you a blessing. But the only way of doing that is by saying, I am not going to try and fight this. I'm not going to try and make it happen. God, you want to establish me, so I need to receive. Because when we do, then God wants to release something. Isaac is the first patriarch who, I believe that he grabbed this and he's like, this is for the generations after me because it doesn't have to do with me. It has to do with my dad being obedient. Isaac is the first patriarch who said, I am going to bless my kids. Yes, he favoritism. Yes, there's a whole bunch of junk there that I'm going to let Pastor Nathan deal with next week. But the thing is that Isaac, in faith, said, I am going to bless my kids because I know there's something bigger than this going on. Because God wants to release something. For us, the reality is God wants to establish the oath that he made to Jesus. That every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That he will reshape the nations and bring healing and life to them. And Jesus is digging wells as well to bring that establishment. You look at John 4. The woman at the well, he encounters this and he said to her, everyone who drinks this water from just this earthly well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. when we go through and we are so caught up with, when we are getting drained because we feel people are draining us, and they do because there's a drinking of life that they see in you as a believer that they want, and there is a pull on it. Am I going to receive the water of life that I can become a well of life? Pouring out, because God wants to release life through us. I believe for us as a church that God is wanting to establish us, that we've been on the fringe of something here as a church. We've been tasting in the presence of God, tasting change, but God is wanting to establish us in his promise. So I ask us that we would respond by remaining in his presence, remaining in his promise, that we would redig these areas of wellsprings in our lives, of just committing to the Bible. We're going through the series, not just because we couldn't think of something to do. Like, this is important. Getting the Bible, digging in. The disciples looked to Jesus and he said, where else are we going to go? Who else has the words of life? Are we going to redig things that may have not worked for our parents because there wasn't a blessing? But that's like, no, God, you want to bless me, not on what I can do, not on what my parents have done, but on what Jesus has done. That we can simply receive. A lot of that is laying down our own choice to fight and letting ourselves depend on God, depend on Jesus and his sacrifice, because he wants to release something in us, and that we can partner with God in being a blessing that he has created us to be, to release his presence and his blessing in this city. So the ushers get communion ready, and Pastor Nathan's going to come up and lead us in communion. Sarah, just open hands, oh Lord. And if this is something you're wanting, you're saying, I'm tired of just being on the fringes of blessing or in the promise, like I really want God to establish me, and realizing what that may cost may mean having to remain in some uncomfortable positions, because it's trusting that God is going to move. God, we come before you right now. And we just say, what you're wanting to do, do it. God, establish us. And we're tired of playing games. We're tired of coming in and out of the promised land that you have given us. God, your call on our life of is that favor and blessing, God, that we want to be established. Establish us, Lord. By your hand, and by your promise that has nothing to do with us, but because of Jesus. Work in us, Lord.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.